Welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. I'm your host, Zane C. Weber, and with me at the table tonight to help me learn lessons from musicals is my lovely co-host,
Julie Eisentrager.
How are you going, Julie?
I'm going pretty good. How are you?
You know, I'm all right.
Oh, yeah, kicking it.
Yep, it's Friday, and it's time to talk about musicals.
Okay.
All right. So, each week we get a guest.
Mm-hmm, we do.
And a guest picks a musical.
I've got a fresh one this week.
A fresh guest.
A newbie.
A newbie?
A freshie.
Excellent. Well, before we apply any more uncomfortable adjectives to...
I got heaps more.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I'm cutting
going,
you off.
Keep going, I dare you.
That lovely voice is none other than the host of Floof and Papa.
Thomas Hooley. Hello,
Thomas
everybody.
Thomas Hooley. How
bork,
are you going,
bork, hello.
Oh, this is the man I meant to give a job to. I'm with you. I know who this is
right
now.
This is Julie. She likes dogs. This is Tom. He also likes dogs.
Yeah, cool. Sweet.
What a world.
What a world. Okay, so before we get into the get to know you or talking about musicals, mm-hmm. I'm just going to let everyone know we've had some feedback. We've heard your cries of, we love musicals, Zane, but an hour and a half is a long time to talk about one musical over and over and over again.
Sure is.
Was this complaint made by the podcasters themselves?
Miranda did have a little bit to say, even though she is the main culprit for making run over time. I can say that because she's not here.
We all did.
Yep. We're going to shake up our format a little bit.
Shake, shake, shake.
We are going to make it a bit more lesson-centric.
Shake, shake, shake.
Streamline. So we're going to... As always, let the host give us a little bit of background as to the musical and what it's about, where it came from, why it exists. Then we're going to go straight into lessons and we're going to tell you why and what we learnt lessons from. And that's going to be the bulk of the episode. Then we'll go on and do the fun Dreamcast and top five lists at the end.
Yes, guys, wonderful, sit back, wonderful. Relax. You're in for a quickie but a goodie.
Let's say we're hoping to now keep the episodes under an hour so that they're a good kind of morning, afternoon commute listen.
Okay.
Let's say that's what we're aiming for. So let us know if you prefer this format or if you want us to go back to the old one. But yeah, reach out on socials. But without any further ado, let's get to know Tom.
Cool. What do you need to know?
Well, we have a traditional quiz. And I don't know if Julie's game enough to risk... Miranda's wrath.
Oh, wait, no. Miranda's just walked in. Oh, and she's just here solely to do her bit.
Oh, finally.
Are you ready, Miranda? She's nodding. She is getting to know you.
It's great.
Miranda, you were so good. Oh, bye. Bye, doll.
Excellent. Okay, so Tom, which musical character would other people compare you to?
I would say it is Mark from Rent.
Mark from Rent, because you are...
Poor.
Tragically single?
I guess, yeah, that's kind of part of it. I've definitely been compared for that reason.
Isn't that his defining character trait, though?
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit. Like, also, that he's poor.
Well, that's everyone in that show. Except
Well, I think it's...
The lawyer.
I think it's actually because he is kind of a generic kind of white guy as well.
Do you refuse to get a job?
No, I don't refuse to get a job. Yeah,
sensible enough to have a job and pay some rent.
But yes. I will pay my rent. I will not... Stick it to the man in such a
it's
terrible
hard not
way.
To pay rent in Brisbane.
Hashtag Team Benny.
Yeah, look, Benny was not wrong. Benny was the good guy.
He
guess.
Is a good guy.
Benny was a dick.
Okay, well, what musical character would you like other people to compare you to? If Mark is a generic white guy, what non-generic white guy would you like to be?
I wasn't prepared for this one.
If it's not a generic white guy. What non-generic, let's say unique black woman would you like to be?
Ooh. Sour kangaroo.
I don't
know. Sour kangaroo.
Sour kangaroo.
Like I wouldn't, I don't know. There's so many characters that I would like to play but not really be compared to necessarily.
Well, what kind of characters do you look up to? Audrey 2, do you want to take over the world?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. This is a really difficult question for me. I'm put on the spot because I wasn't ready for that at all. Guy from Once the Musical. Okay. He doesn't really get a name. I can't remember his name if he does get a name. I'm pretty sure he's just Guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy.
Awkward if Guy is his name.
No, as Guy in, is like, a name. Like man one is essentially who he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy girl, just like once.
Yes.
Okay. Easy question.
Mm.
What's your dream role?
It would probably be
Mark from Rent.
Not Mark from Rent. Monty Navarro in Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. Good. I could see you do that.
Mm. I would really enjoy to do that. Yeah. Enjoy doing that role.
Put it on, audition.
Oh, yeah. When you put it on, I kind of want to be the dice quest, even though that's not a thing for a woman. But if you could work it, that'd be
There's
great.
No reason we'll why see. It couldn't yeah. be. There is.
It's just a character actor.
I wonder if the rights would let you do that.
I think they would.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Actually, that is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Mm. That'd be great fun.
I'll do some investigations. I'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Tom.
Yes.
What's your favorite Sondheim show?
Sondheim show, Into the Woods.
Good answer.
Mm. Mm.
Is that a clear winner or is there a few that are
well,
like...
Well, I think it's the one that I'm most familiar with. Right. So I think that's why I so strongly am just like, oh yeah, that one, hands down.
Well, I have a question for you. This is a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need you first. The first answer that pops into your head
was
in Into the Woods.
Yes.
The Witch correct.
Yes.
Good answer. You can stay.
Yeah.
I'm good. That's good. Yay.
Okay. What's your go-to shower song?
Go-to shower song is Me from Beauty and the Beast musical. Do you know that one?
Wait, what?
It's not very well known. There is a YouTube recording. It's called Me and it's sung by Gaston.
But it just sounds
really nice.
Is it?
Wait, no, I've done that.
You've been dreaming just one dream.
Yeah.
Nearly all your life. And it's just like obnoxious, but it's
that is a fun song.
It's deep and vibrato-y that it just feels really nice to sing in the shower. So.
All right, well, this is the most dangerous question of all. You have to delete one musical from existence. Which one is it? It can't be Cats.
Can't be Cats. I've said Seven Brides
because it
is extremely sexist. It's about men kidnapping women and taking them into mountains. And the musical itself, there are seven women there and they each only get given like one line and it's just a man-run musical and I just think it's so counterproductive and moronic. There is one female lead that gets quite a bit of showing, except I just don't like it.
What if we were to set it so that evil undertone comes through and make it a very dark musical?
That would be
musical.
Very interesting. I would like that
what
take.
What if we were to gender flip it and the brothers
that
became sisters?
I was actually thinking about that. It would also be another interesting take, but...
Still creepy.
But
it's deleted, so it's we can't
just,
do it.
Yeah, it's deleted. Sorry guys, it's gone from history.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know either. Yeah.
What?
Seven watts for who?
Seven watts for who? What? Mm.
All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we will start talking about 36 questions. Woo! All right, Tom, tell us a little bit about 36 questions.
So 36 questions was written by Chris Littler and Ellen Winter. And they worked with a sound designer called Joel Raab. Believe that's how it's pronounced. It's R-A-A-B. And they wrote this podcast musical based on a list of questions that the New York Times posted. And it's the 36 questions to fall in love. And the theory behind that is if you sat down with any given person, essentially, and got to the end of this list and did everything that it recommended, you would fall in love with this person.
Well, that was very famous at the time. Like it went viral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember doing it with my partner. Oh, it would have been after it came out, but yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Fun times.
So,
so
it was the 36 questions were written by a psychologist or a pair of psychologists who basically did a survey of people who were in love with other people asking what are the questions that would – that basically bring to the forefront the things that you appreciate about your partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then they refined it, put it in a specific order, getting more and more deep. So it's not just a list of questions. It's also a list of
It's kind of a list of things to do. It's like exercises, essentially.
There's also ways to ask There's also questions in there that it will clearly tell you something about someone, like if which way they politically lean or religiously lean without
question
actually
number 14.
Asking them.
Are you a murderer?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Are you truly? Look me in the eyes, Julie.
Look him in the eyes.
I've killed a lot of bugs in my lifetime.
You bug murderer.
You bug murderer.
Yes. So yes. 36 questions. They exist. Mm. That was 2015?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Long time
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So essentially they use the 36 questions as a key device in the podcast musical 36 questions.
Yep.
So yeah.
Mm.
And so in the podcast, in the musical, it's not about two new people meeting and trying the questions.
No, it's quite an interesting approach. So in the past, before the events of the musical have taken place, they did do the 36 questions together and fall in love as a result, though they were already together and probably presumably already in love. But one party, the female, her name is Judith, had been living under a different name, and essentially she had been lying to her partner Jace for 2 years. And then it all came to light about all of this made up persona that she had essentially created, which was
like a
very
life.
Similar to her, except she kind of had a double life. You know, her parents were supposedly dead, but they're actually alive, you know, those sort of things. And her parents had come looking for her, and essentially somebody knocked on her door and said, "You're Judith Wright, and your name is not Natalie."
Yeah.
And so as a result, Jace runs away. And this is where the musical starts.
Yeah.
Judith is tracking Jace down to read the 36 questions together again to try and see if Judith and Jace are in love instead of just Natalie and Jace.
What I wanted to do coming into this episode today, because there isn't, it's not as tangible a musical as some others. Like, you can't see it.
Yeah.
And, there's no wiki for it. There's not a huge amount of it's relatively new musical.
Yes. Last year, I think it came out.
Yes.
Yeah, it was released last year.
So I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to the soundtrack and try and work out what's happened and why it's happened.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting having explained exactly what happened within those 36 questions, that it was 2 years prior, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'm like sitting there listening to it, I'm like, was this online they did this questionnaire? Because you can't do it online. That's not how that works. Had they not met? And so you've just filled in a few blanks for me.
Yeah.
Which so is interesting to know she's been living it for 2 years.
Found out it is basically just before the events of, except they had been married for 2 years. So
It's kind of a big betrayal that he's trying to deal with.
So when he's singing about that, and you know she's trying to convince him, well, you know, Judith and Natalie aren't that. We're these things together. Yeah. It's fine. When I'm listening to it and not knowing that it's 2 years of deception, I was like, calm down, dude. Like,
yeah, just give her a break.
It's a tiny lie. That's bad.
But like, you,
bad girl.
By the end, you kind of feel very sorry for Judith because a series of events basically unfold as they're asking and answering these questions. And, you know, they go off on a little adventure and they both get a bit drunk and Jace still admits that he loves her and all of this stuff and then freaks out and runs away and leaves her in a lurch
again.
Which I'm just spoiling the whole plot now, so I should probably stop doing that.
This is totally fine.
We
warn everyone that this is a spoiler. Spoilers for everyone, and you can go and it doesn't take long to listen to this.
No, it's broken up. You can listen to it in three segments, supposedly. So if you jump up on Google and just search 36 Questions Podcast Musical, the first link you find should be essentially their page, and they should have about 45-minute long recordings, and you can listen to it in three sections, and they're clearly defined and they sort of start and end each section quite nicely in a little package.
And it's available on every podcatcher that I've searched on, like Spotify.
Definitely. On Spotify. I think the music is on Spotify, but the podcast itself isn't.
Yeah.
So if you jump on Spotify, there's going to be a lot of blanks that you're not going to understand, I guess, because there's a lot more said on the podcast itself.
And that's all the blanks that I'm now having filled in, being like, oh my God.
Yeah, which you'll be just like, oh, I can it's a very clear story. So it's not like I've come with perceived reading and that's why I understand the musical. So yeah.
I've really thought about it, guys.
Yeah, I've really. Yeah.
I've gone back. I have a wall full of red yarn.
connected the dots.
Connected the dots.
All right. Well, so of course it starred Jonathan Groff was the big name in it.
Yes, Jonathan Groff and the other girl. Oh, what was her name?
When you're just not as famous as Jonathan Groff.
Well, I believe in the article that I were in one of the articles I read, it was like headlined by it's Jonathan Groff with up and coming. I can't find her name.
I'm actually scrolling. We're all scrolling.
No. That's. It's I'm so sorry. I wrote down this name.
I'm well too many paragraphs in. Ellen. No, that's one of the. This is awful.
Starts with J. I'm pretty sure. As well.
Is it Julie? Because that's the best name.
Jesse Shelton.
Yes. Jesse Shelton. And she is wonderful. Actually, she's got quite a unique voice.
A very unique.
Very unique voice. So, in terms of how it was written, I think it was written for their voices. I would be really interested to see somebody take on that particular role because it seems like some very unique singing styles.
I think you'll have the same thing that you do when you see people do the last 5 years. They always have precisely. A similar sound to the original Kathy.
Kathy is rough.
Very rarely go outside of to reimagine a character's voice, which is equally disappointing and I guess good in some ways.
So
you don't want a French Kate monster.
I guess we should also shout out to Two Up, which is the production house. So they made another podcast called Limetown, which wasn't a musical, and The Wilderness. It was kind of like a Serial meets X-Files. If your Serial podcast,
Serial's good.
Yes.
Are you talking about the food, the breakfast cereal?
I'm going to just let you guys think about it.
All right, okay. So they produced this and, like, I am very excited about the possibility of the musical format moving into the podcast.
Into the podcast world, So just following on from that, shout out to Zat Akers and Skip Bronchi who have set that up. Because this is a really cool innovation that I would also love to see more of because absolutely. You can.
Yeah, but who do we know that could do a podcast musical? Like who can even like.
Well, anybody who can write a basic musical for starters.
Yeah, the problem is I know too many composers and I'm sorry, if I ask one then all the others are going to be like, why didn't you ask me?
It'd be rude not to ask Benedict. He wrote all our music.
The wonderful thing about it though is usually when you've got another project for like a musical theatre there, you write as much as you can and then it gets to a stage where you're like, oh, I've got a limited amount of time to put this on, put it in a stage, whatever. Yeah. And then it becomes time constrainty and a lot more pressure. With this, you can take as long as you want essentially to just build the pieces. It's kind of like an album.
It's kind of releasing a musical as an album. Yeah.
As an album, but with much more story and all the sound effects that you might not even be able to put on stage but can put within recording, which is quite good. Yeah. Like duck sounds, for example, in 36 questions.
We're out of duck sounds. Fresh out of duck sounds today.
Fresh out of duck sounds. Here's a rim shot.
But we can give you a rim shot.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take, if we've finished talking about the basic details, we're going to get into our new main section, lessons that we've learned.
Lessons that we've learned.
Okay, what have we learnt, people?
So much.
Well, the 36 questions themselves are a very interesting cultural artifact.
Yes, definitely.
I've done them.
Yes.
Have you done them?
I've done them not with a partner. Like I've just gone
You've
through
asked them of yourself.
Well, I'm eternally Zane single.
Zane and Nick's were like, yeah.
The cats, those guys are bonded now though. And that 4 minutes of looking into each other's eyes, that just really sealed it for them. Have you done them?
I haven't been in a relationship to do them yet. As in I found them after my last relationship. So
it's a make or break. Be careful with it.
It holds much power.
Problem is whenever I maintain eye contact with someone for long enough, they just burst into giggles. Julie, I know you're making eye contact with me now.
Remember, guys, we've only got an hour.
we've got to keep it under an hour. So just going through, like, these are very interesting questions just in and of themselves to kind of make you think about yourself, because these are questions that you might not normally pose to yourself.
Definitely, No, I think them's, there's a lot to learn about you. Not only the other person, but yourself. Is what you're getting at.
That
of course.
Said, if you would like to do them with a potential partner, it is better to go in not knowing the questions, because it gives a genuine reaction on both sides.
Which is good. Otherwise, because I've forgotten most of them, which is nice.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're there and asking the questions off cuff, and your partner might be like, "Well, at my dinner party, I've really thought about this, and I would like to have the following people." And you're like, "Oh, this is not hot."
Yeah, well,
this isn't as sexy as I wanted it to be.
I think the further you get away from that 2015 release, the more likely it is that at least one of you is going to know some of the questions.
Yeah,
and that's dinner party question. Like, that's I think that's number one or two.
Number one, Miranda and I did it today
for a reason. Like, that's a pretty common getting to know you question. Like, if you could have a dinner party, who would you invite?
Who would you invite, Zane?
Yeah,
go on.
Do they have to be alive?
No, alive or dead.
Robin Williams.
No, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
Oh, in the round, in the field.
That's right. Like, there's a lot of things that I'd like to talk to Robin Williams about.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to cry.
Well, who would you invite?
Tom Hanks.
All right. Yeah, you have a crush on Tom Hanks.
That's pretty good.
I do have a crush on Tom Hanks.
Actually, like, strangely enough, Barack Obama.
All right. Yeah.
I think he seems like a very interesting person and would have a lot of clever insights on the world.
Is that because he's a time traveler?
Possibly.
Different podcast. But yeah, I think that not only do the 36 questions are interesting in themselves, but also as like something that the culture has, our culture has generated as like, oh, you're having trouble feeling emotions. Here's a handy 36 question quiz.
Yeah.
To open yourself up about.
To reveal yourself to your partner.
It is revealing though.
Yeah.
It really absolutely. Is. Because when I did last time, some of the questions, I was like, oh, yeah, nope, not falling in love here. This is going to be a problem.
That's something that I learned.
Yeah.
I learned within my digging about this musical and learning like obviously, I was like, oh, Jonathan Groff was quite famous.
Yeah.
In 2007. What year are we in?
We are in 2019. So 2018 was when he did it. Yeah.
He was a famous dude by that time, and he's super, super willing to do a podcast.
Yeah. Happily hitting his stride, really. Yeah.
But I didn't really know much more about him other than, embarrassingly enough, Frozen. Because he plays Kristoff in Frozen. Yeah. But
and that's why they gave him the reindeer song, because they realized that they gave Jonathan Groff a non-singing role.
Yeah. And they're like,
and that's why Frozen 2 coming may probably have a bit more.
Hefty amount of singing. Well, I didn't realize, disgustingly enough, that he was a semi-finalist on The Voice.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, that's all right. Plenty of people have gone there. Yeah, it depends
Jonathan
how you
Groff
do it.
Now.
He is Jonathan Groff now, and he's done so many amazing musicals.
Lots of Netflix shows as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, very famous guy.
So. And I will say in terms of someone famous doing this project, like this project being a podcast does give people who would otherwise have very hectic schedules
a bit more freedom.
Like you can kind of fit in recording.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
You just have a day off or a day or two off.
So you could essentially have your dream cast if you can fit into their one day a year that they have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I did
you
find
just
out.
Need to take a while.
It was July 2017 that the podcast came out.
Cool.
I keep forgetting that we're in 2019.
Don't talk about it. Upsetting, that's what it is.
What I learned, two things, but I think the overarching theme and lesson from like the musical itself, not necessarily the 36 questions, is that like love is extremely complicated and has the power to override all other particularities and sensibilities that we might otherwise have.
Yeah.
So, because I think they really sort of hit home on that, you know, like Natalie/Judith wouldn't have continued using her name Natalie if she wasn't so in love with Jace.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she didn't want to lose him. And of course, when it came to light that she was, she essentially lost him, you know. And it's kind of why she lies. And, you know, there's a whole big part about why she lies. And that's kind of it.
That's really sad too.
Yeah.
Upon the realization, even though I thought it was only a short time she'd been lying for, to me the question came about, and I guess it's because I'm just not that kind of person. Mm. But if I got to the end of a first date and I'd been lying about who I was, I'd be like, so.
Yeah.
You're a really cute guy and I'm a bit of a psycho, FYI. I may have made up the following things and just list them off there and then. And be like, but you're a cool guy and we can get over this. And would you like to meet Judith tomorrow? Yeah. She's a rad chick.
It's me.
It's me.
It's just me.
But I'm also amazing.
Yeah. But like, and then just like other things, like, you know, Jace has very strong moral standings, which
very black and white.
Very black and white, which throughout the show he falters on and changes because of certain things.
So. And I do enjoy in this one, speaking of the difference between the two characters, is that he is shown as being a bit more neurotic than she is.
Yes.
Especially like his opening song where he's going through his list. This is a song that you would usually hear a woman singing about, and just like no matter what she does, she can't get everything done, and it just keeps getting more and more and getting
more chaotic and hysterical. Yeah.
So I think that that's a really interesting kind of switch. Also, that she's the one that made a mistake and she's trying to win him back.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually it would be
the other way around.
Who has made a terrible mistake and is trying to win a woman back.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't take a step back and think of it in that it doesn't feel odd, it's just a different story.
Yeah.
So I think that the writers did a really good job.
I think it's a really... It's a clever story in the sense that, like, when you think of the 36 questions being made into a musical, if you just know the 36 questions, you're like, I think, like, a more obvious musical is just, like, two people unwittingly meeting each other, getting these 36 questions and falling in love after some trials maybe. But this is, like, a completely, like, just a wild card musical that is just, like, lands so well, I think, just how they've done it.
My brain didn't even put together the two and two. But at first I was like, when Zane was like, oh, we're doing 36 questions. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I'll have to Google what that podcast, that musical's all about.
Yeah.
And then I was, it was only once I started listening to it and I was probably about four songs in and I was like, oh no. You've been there. You've done them. It's the 36 questions. But I don't think the situation with her being the one that is trying to win him back is unique to it's not unique to life, but it is unique to musical theatre.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think
it's underrepresented in musical theatre, maybe.
Kind of, I would class this musical as a romantic comedy.
Yes, and so I think it's a rom-com.
Yeah, and I think you do have romantic comedies where the woman's trying to win the man back.
Yeah.
But it's very rarely that the woman's made a terrible mistake that she has to try and apologize and
in a rom-com.
Except in the last few years, like Bridesmaids and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, musical theater does take that bit longer
to get there.
Catch up.
Yeah.
Something I learned about myself listening to this musical. I really do like this musical and I love what it means for musicals in general as well as podcasts, but I really missed the big musical number.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, actually that was
two.
Yeah.
There's no
there are full shorts and there are some songs that I love and there are other songs that I'm like, I kind of want to skip this one now because I'm kind of over the form of it. But there are others that are really, really beautiful and really capturing, but you're right.
There's one or two, maybe show number, three I guess. Kinds of songs in the show. And
I think the one that gets closest is We Both Like.
Yes.
Because it's where they, I think it's like one of the few duets actually, which really you see their actual relationship.
That was the first time that I was like, oh, this is moving a bit faster.
In
terms of like literal tempo,
draws
this is finally
so
moving
nice.
A little bit faster. For me, I had the same problem. I was like, there's nothing that is particularly catchy in this. There's definitely good songs within the musical, but it does seem like they've taken, one particular song that's got a lot of exposition in it from another musical, but that's all of their songs.
Yeah.
And that comes down to format as well, because it is a conversational musical and it is exposition that drives this musical and it's not a visual form. So you're not getting any cues from visual.
And I think when you are writing, when you're writing a musical for stage, you are taking into account the space that you have to work in, the lighting that you can have, the effects that you could
put into a song. They can assume and see.
Yeah.
Whereas
when you're just recording something, you don't have that push to go that spectacular.
Yeah.
I definitely
did miss that because there's not a lot of songs that – it's basically like all recit.
I mean
– But in saying that
– I love a good villain song. Yeah. I was just waiting for someone to have
a villain.
No, it was just someone to like break down and admit wrong. And because I was really hoping for that song, and like you just didn't get it. But what you got, I like. But it was just kind of like I just wanted that big song that I can latch onto and go like, yes, I'm going to learn this song, and that's going to be my song.
Yeah,
on this show.
And
it's not particularly a feel good musical.
No, actually,
it's emotional.
It's very emotional.
The end note that you land on is actually quite, it's not like that's great that they're friends. The lesson is you have to sort of be shit in life and that's how you get through life is pretty much what it ends on.
And now, what is Zane's motto?
Which one?
People are trash.
Oh, sorry. People I was torn trash. Between people are trash and old people feeling things.
But like... In saying all this, though, I really think it deserves a bit of leeway in the sense that it is the first kind of thing of its kind. And I think it's really good for being the first of its kind. Like how many things kicked off and then didn't kick off at all because they were terrible. This is actually really good.
It's message
got nuggets
strong.
Of greatness.
And I will say there have been other podcast musicals that have come after this one. One of them is particularly bad.
Oh, nice.
It is. RuPaul did a Christmas musical with his sidekick. I always blank on her name.
Michelle.
Yeah. As Mrs. Claus.
Oh, no.
It was pretty bad.
That said, I'm looking for my Spotify right now. Yeah.
Listen to it. I couldn't get very far into it. It was just...
Wait, was Rue Santa?
I don't think I ever heard Rue. I think I got like two songs.
And see, this I think like you need to be clever about how you go about this, because I think the thing that I really loved about 36 Questions was that it was as though they were just recording it on their phone, like for the record.
Yeah.
And everything had this key device that it worked around, which was just a phone. And it was you only ever got input when they were actively like, oh, I'm going to turn on the recording and record this bit. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm going through. Yeah. Oh, we're having this discussion for the record, you know, and it was sort of like it drew it all in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could necessarily do something like, because it's a different feeling. Like you could do it, but like, for example, it'd just be listening to a musical soundtrack.
Cast recording.
Or a cast recording.
He's very specific.
No, it's good. I'm glad that he's specific.
We've got feedback about that as well.
Yes.
No,
you're right.
I'll call it what I want, thanks.
But like, you would just be listening to and feel like you're listening to a cast recording if it wasn't something like, oh, we're going to describe this actual recording device and why we're recording this.
So it's like a found footage.
Yeah.
And I think it is a very clever device and it makes it more compelling to listen to.
Mm.
And like I said, there are a number of songs that I find really catchy and I find myself humming. But I got to the end and I'm like, oh, and I'm trying to think back over the songs because I usually ask myself like, what's my favorite song? Because that's I ask when we get to the podcast. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and listen again.
That's it. Yeah. It kind of left me wanting more actually.
Yeah.
Like I was hoping for a sneaky fourth part to be revealed to me all of a sudden. And I was like, oh no.
Well,
that's where it ends.
Two up if you're listening.
Yeah. Two up. Come on.
Part four, please.
Do you know what I would like as a part four, which is sick and twisted, but I would like.
What?
One of them has passed away in whatever fashion and the other reflecting on the ways that
they handled that situation.
They handled that situation. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Whether it's quite interesting.
The girl that passes away or the guy, either way.
Mm.
I think both, or like, maybe a flip side of both.
I liked the reality of how it ended is in that, like, you know, not all love stories are perfect.
Yeah.
But I think in my part four, just because I am such a stupid, dumb romantic, is that I would like to see them kind of
reconcile
and at least come back in a way that seems a bit more solid.
Yeah.
You know?
A bit more of a firm ending.
Yeah. Like they don't necessarily have to get back together as a couple, except it seems like, oh, we're going to meet up and just like talk briefly and then we're probably not going to see each other ever again thing. Yeah. Bye.
Any other lessons that we've learned or shall we move on?
Oh, yeah. My other one was that these musical podcasts are something that we should keep running with, and I really like the idea. That was the other lesson that I learned, and it's an obvious one, really.
I can't make any promises, but this is a project that I would love to be involved in.
Yeah.
So I am...
You've got the equipment.
I've got tentacles really, out there. And then, I don't have the exact equipment. We've got the
recording equipment. We do need a studio and, of course, instrumentalists bringing their instruments.
A composer, yes.
So there's a few pieces to build in. What we're really saying is pop onto Patreon.com.
Yeah. Pop onto Patreon.
Give us lots of money and we can sort that one out for you. Yeah.
You know what, everyone?
Wow, this is another promise, guys.
This is another promise. This is
coming
one that
on.
I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think at 500 patrons, I will commit to producing a podcast musical.
Yeah, done.
So we have live shows. I would love to be a part of that. Live shows promised at 300. At 500, I will make a podcast musical.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call it there. We're going to take a break, and we will come back and talk about our dream cast. Dreamcast.
Cast it.
Jonathan Groff. Is it?
Yeah, Jonathan.
Can we do better?
So actually I thought about this a bit. Because I think this is actually quite easily adaptable to stage, this one, in a sense. You'd have to alter whatever the key device is, except you could still have that key device of like the recording device on stage and kind of work it. I think if I were going to see it on stage and not really hear it, I would probably want to see Jeremy Jordan and Laura Dreyfus, who played Zoe Murphy in Dear Evan Hansen. I think her vocal quality would also suit the role quite well as well.
Yeah.
But I would really like to see that combination. I think that would be quite interesting.
I mean, I always kind of just want to see him.
Jeremy Jordan.
Like if he appeared right now, just there, I wouldn't be mad about it.
I just want to see him. Yeah.
I just want to see him. I would like to see Zac Efron as the audio producer.
I don't think Zac would play it really well.
The other thing is we don't know he wouldn't.
That's true.
Can't rule it out.
Can't.
I don't know. He won't. There's no role that he can appear shirtless in.
He can record shirtless. I'm recording shirtless right now.
All right.
It is one of his superpowers, and in a podcast format, his superpower is just undercut. That's his kryptonite, being recorded instead of seen.
My one pick for the male role would be Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's a really good call, actually. Yeah.
Two very different reactions.
I love that.
Why not Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah. We know he can sing it.
I don't want to. Why is that not enough reason, people?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to. He has such a broad range of acting ability. Yeah. And not only like acting on screen, but also vocal acting ability.
Yes.
He's done such varied roles in the last few years that I think this is definitely something he could sink his teeth into.
Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah.
His rendition of that is beautiful. I agree with that.
For Judith. Betsy Wolf?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm about that.
It's
very different sound than what we get.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we need to challenge.
That's definitely it as well. Like I realized in my pick of Laura Dreyfus, I was like, oh yeah, I'm kind of just picking I love Laura Dreyfus and I think she'd do it differently in an acting sense.
Yeah.
But like I was like, oh yeah, actually I kind of had slotted into a very similar vocal style and that what we kind of do need is a difference in that to really explore
what else the it can
that
be.
It can be. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
And that's why I picked Jeremy Jordan, actually, because I think he has a very different vocal quality to Jonathan
Goff. Definitely a brighter
vocal quality. And I think he could find a lot more.
I think the tricky thing that we have with this reoccurring theme of people imitating the original artist is a real possibility for vocal damage.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That. And it's also just like a problem at its core with the arts right now is because like, well, what's the point of just recopying?
Because also people,
you know,
like, also as an audience, you go, they're now going expecting to hear the cast recording.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the problem is because like we've actually taught our audience for the longest time what they believe is perfection of the role.
Exactly.
Which, you know, people who aren't artists listening, art is not perfect in any way, shape or form. And it's the imperfections that make it beautiful, I think.
In an imperfect vocal performance could be made a perfect performance.
That's it.
By the acting that
precisely,
it,
you know. And so like just take everything.
Let's just take that as another lesson, you know? Guys.
That's wonderful. Yeah. For every single thing.
We need
here
to start
on out.
Challenging it. Because
a lesson we learned by proxy.
Yes.
What really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
my lady Audra, I think she would do a great job, but I don't think she's she's my first
pick. My lady. Would you like her
not to, my lady, my lady.
Would you like her to be an audio producer with Zac Efron on this one? They can do it together. They can push the buttons.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Push those buttons.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna say we're going. I think we've mastered the Dreamcast, so we're going to go move forward with our top five lists. What top five list would it belong on?
Now, this question kind of confused me because I was like, what top five
let
list?
Let me explain to you.
So the only one that I have got down as well, definitely top five musical podcasts. Because
crushed it.
I win.
Musical podcasts. Can we include
podcast
ourselves?
Musicals.
Podcast musicals.
There
yes,
we go.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I did sing a bit before, you know. Yeah.
We do get fairly musical.
So top five list is if it appears on a top five list, what are some that it would appear on? So you're totally right.
Yep.
Top five podcast musicals.
Yeah.
Top five duos that carry the show.
Two-person.
Yeah.
I think, I'm going to say top five Jonathan Groff performances.
I think we see
so much of him in this show.
Yes.
Or we hear so much of him in this show that I would put it on. It's definitely my top five favorite of his outings.
I agree. And I think it's quite impressive what he does in the sense that like, well, usually we're always seeing Jonathan Groff and we're seeing all the aspects that he usually puts into a performance. And I really find it valuing, if that's not really a word, but I enjoy that he can give so much and all we're listening to is a recording, except I've gotten everything and he's made everything quite clear and precise, I think.
Yeah.
And you don't get that all the time. And I think that's...
Especially in musicals, you don't always get...
That's it. Like even with all the aspects.
If
like,
you have notes and you have dynamics that you're trying to hit, you don't always put in the acting into your voice.
Yep.
And I think Jonathan Groff and Jesse in this one
as
well.
Yeah, definitely.
Put so much into their voices. Like, I think that's something that needs to be recognized.
Most definitely.
I don't know anything else that Jesse has done, so it's obviously in her top five outings as well.
From our perspective, at least.
Any other top fives? It's definitely top five musicals featuring a quiz.
Yes. Yeah.
Name the other four.
I don't have any others.
That's why it's in the top five. It's in the top one, really.
What a
musical.
Is there one in Legally Blonde? I can imagine that there would be one in Legally Blonde, like a Cosmo quiz or something.
I know that would be
a question briefly mentioned, but
Miranda, who has been in the musical.
Maybe.
And if she were here and not talking to someone, she could answer that question.
Alas, she's not here. So
she's not here.
We will just have to.
Question?
Is there a quiz in Legally Blonde?
A quiz in Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Do they reference like a Cosmo quiz or something in...
Or do you know of any other musicals that have such a thing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Miranda has just arrived. She's at the microphone now.
She was here before to do her intro song. That it
was I?
Yes, you were.
Do you know you are? I'm sorry, see? It's a little late. Is there a Cosmo quiz? I don't think there is a quiz. And if there is, it's a very passing.
I know there
mention.
Is possibly another one, though, in another musical. Actually, maybe. Like, does Into the Woods even sort of have something no. that's kind of similarish?
I mean, as in, you as have in the to witch. Figure out her riddle.
It's a riddle. Yeah,
it's like a riddle, but it's not really the same.
It's a riddle and a quiz.
She also really obviously gives them the answer to
yes,
the riddle.
Yes, because she's
up.
Right about everything all the way through, and nobody listens.
That's right.
Idiots, fools.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't listen fools. To the previous part of this. I'm going to have to listen to the episode when it comes out and then get back to you with an answer because I'm out of context. No idea.
All right. Well,
about.
Yeah. Fantastic. You know,
have a lovely day, everyone.
Just mention on social media with everyone else.
Okay.
All right. Well, if do we have any other...
No.
It's difficult well, because actually, there's no other production elements.
Yeah, that's
to talk
it.
About.
Like it's
top five costumes, top five staging.
Yeah.
Top five.
Like,
top five musicals with no costuming
I guess,
requirements.
I'm sure there probably is something that's related to the New York Times and musicals, and I would say that's probably top five of that. As in,
I'm sure we'd probably have top five low budget covered.
Oh yeah, actually that's
because
a good one.
If you've already got the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
You don't really need much
you
more.
Don't need much, no.
Yeah, easier to stage.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything cool. else?
No, I think that's about it.
Well, okay. Well, I've really enjoyed talking about 36 questions. Tom, thank you for bringing it on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me here and great musical to share. And I suggest everyone should go and listen to it.
Well, hopefully
really
everyone...
Easy. You've got all the time in the world.
Has gone to go listen to it now.
Yeah, good.
Is there anything you would like to plug before we head off?
I don't really have much to plug.
I mean, you are on another podcast on the network?
Yes, actually, yeah. Go check out Floof and Papa, most definitely. And I have really enjoyed Law and Disorder, so go and check that out as well, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So Law and Disorder is currently in between its second and third season.
We're going to go getting a plug.
Yeah, and well. I'm loving it. So, yeah.
It's good.
Miranda and me are on that one. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, Tom. If you want to find out more about Musical Story, Anything I Know, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. And if you want to be part of the push for us to do a podcast musical.
You can do it, guys.
Yes. Go to patreon.com/musicalstormeeverythingiknow. We currently have far less than 500 patrons.
I mean, not far less, but yeah.
A few less than 500 patrons. A few hundred less
but
than
But we have patrons is the point.
We do have patrons and we love them. They are the best people in the entire world. Shout out to all of them.
I was going to give one a specific shout out.
Oh, which one?
Just, oh wait, now I'm not sure that he's Patreon. Is he a Patreon?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Matt Trezor.
Shout out to Matt Trezor. He is also super active on our social media. We love talking to Matt.
Nice. I actually do. I enjoy what he has to say.
And if you can't spare any dollars to give to us, then you can help us out by going onto Apple Podcasts or your podcatcher of choice, giving us a rating and a review, or doing that on Facebook. That gets us into the algorithms and gets the internet to push us out without us having to push it ourselves.
That interwebs tell you now.
Yep,
clever
yep,
thing.
Yep.
And if you want to find out more about this podcast or any of the other podcasts on the network, just go to thatsnotcanon.com and you'll find all the information there. So that has been another episode of Musical Story Everything I Know. I hope that you have enjoyed the new format. Let us know on social media if you did or didn't. I have been Zane C. Weber here with...
Julie Eisentrager.
And thank you again to Tom Hooley.
Yee.
We'll see you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.